Father, we thank you. First of all, we thank you for the rain. I know it was crazy getting from the parking lot to this building. But Lord, every drop out there is a blessing. My goodness, we see Florida that's in a severe drought and fires and so much going on. But Father, we here in Southern California, we want to thank you right now for that rain. We need it. And Father, we pray that you would rain down upon us even now. Through your word, hope, understanding, conviction, the move of your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, we pray that you would be here in a great way. And we know that's going to happen. We have no doubt for this one reason. Jesus, you said, wherever your word is lifted up, the Holy Spirit will be there. And that guarantee, Father, we rest in. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles and turn then to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And you guys are brave. You're here for first service and you came in a storm like that. That's a big deal for us. I was born and raised in San Diego where the fog was, you know, dangerous enough. But if it rains, you know, it's like maybe the tribulation period's begun. But it's great that you're here. Luke chapter 19, we're looking at a message in verses 11 to 27 entitled, How's Your Business? How's your business? It's not a joke. I'm actually asking you a question. How's your business? You might say, well, Pastor Jack, it's horrible. We're not going to be exactly talking about business, exactly. But then maybe we are. What kind of business are we involved in? Jesus is going to give us some instruction. You know that he's very near to Jerusalem, as we shall see here in a moment. And he's going to give us a parable, yet another parable about the priorities of our lives and where we are. I am not going to ask for a show of hands this morning because maybe all of you would raise your hands, but we would ask today, maybe Jesus would ask today, how many of us are Christians and what does it mean? And one of those things would be that it would be noticeable by our business. I'm not talking about running a company exactly. I'm talking about the business of our lives and what is going on in our world. I don't mean our world at large. I mean the world that you and I live in. That sphere of influence and that place where you exist. And for what purpose do you exist? It's very important. So look with me. Chapter 19. We pick it up. Verse 11. Now as they heard these things, the teachings from last week, he spoke another parable. Why? Because, number one, he was near Jerusalem, and because, number two, they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, verse 12, he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas. Some of your Bibles say 10 pounds. Doesn't matter. We'll explain in a moment. And he said this to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then came the first man and he said, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas, or 10 pounds, 10 pounds earned. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little. I have authority, or you have authority then over 10 cities. And the second man came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise, he said, you also have the responsibility or the custody of 5 cities. Verse 20, then another man came, listen carefully, church, and he said, Master, here is your mina, here's your pound, here's your dollar, as it were, which I have put away in a handkerchief, wrapped it up, sealed it. For I feared you, because you are an austere man, hard, difficult man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man. That is The word means you believed in your heart that I was an austere man. That's what you thought of me. Collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I do not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And that at my coming I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, give it to him who has 10. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. That is, the other guy's already got 10. Verse 26, for I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, what he does have will be taken away. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Wow. What's he talking about? By the way, take note, Bible students, you might want to write it down. Don't make a mistake, and there's a very deliberate reason for this parable. You heard a moment ago how the man said, I knew that you are an austere man. You're difficult, you're hard, you're unforgiving, you're very, very mean. And Jesus in the parable says, out of your own mouth, you're judged. You have said what you believe. Don't make the mistake that the parable is announcing the very nature of how Christ is. Not now. Yes, he came as baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, to be Savior of the world. We all know that. But the Bible also says that there is a time coming when he will come not as a baby, born in Bethlehem, right? He will come as a king out of heaven to earth. And it's going to be a horrific moment. That's called the second coming. But make no mistake about it. This parable is unlike any other parable that Jesus has ever given before. And I'm not going to give you the details because it's too big to read. Look it up later. It's simply this. Jesus is speaking to the people regarding an actual event that took place in the year 4 AD. King Herod died. He was appointed king over the area of Judea. When he died, he had descendants. And there was a big argument about who will take the kingdom. And in that great argument, one of those who were promised the kingdom of Herod went to Rome to argue with Caesar that he should not only receive the kingdom as promised to him, but he should be declared king. Herod gave him the kingdom. I should say Caesar gave the descendant the kingdom, but did not ordain him as king. And in doing that, what the Jews did, the Jews sent 50 representatives of Israel to Rome to argue that they didn't want any king in Jerusalem or Judea. And what happened was, when the news came out, they said, we don't want this man to rule over us. Jesus quotes the story. When those Jews got back, guess what happened to them? They were taken out and they were killed by the powers of the Roman Empire. Jesus uses a real issue of their history that everybody knew about to drive home a point regarding four key things. Number one, the timing of the kingdom. When is it going to come? Number two, that there are responsible parties regarding Christ and his return and Christ and his existence. And by the way, those parties are here today in this sanctuary right now. It's you and I as well. Very important. Number three is that there's an ultimate reason or purpose for our life's existence. And number four, that there's a conclusion, there's a finish line coming to life. So keep those things in mind. How's your business? Jot it down. Point number one is this, found in verses 11 to 15. How's your business? Because number one, God's business is expanding. God's business is expanding. That's the announcement that Jesus is making. And it's expanding, write it down, mark it, beyond this world. It's expanding beyond this world. The Bible tells us in verses 11 to 13 that as he was approaching Jerusalem, he speaks this parable because, number one, as the people began to think, if Jesus is coming to Jerusalem with all of the miracles and all the things that he's done, this must be the kingdom coming. Church, listen, in that time period, the Jews believed that the Messiah would come. Hear me out. You got to read your Bible carefully. They believed that the Messiah would come and establish his kingdom. Well, so do we. We believe the same thing. But the timing is important. Your Bible says that they believed that the kingdom would come, what? Immediately. They believed that Jesus Christ would come and deliver Israel from the Roman tyranny instantly. They looked at him as a political Messiah, literally. Israel was looking. By the way, Israel is looking today for a political Messiah. They believe that the Messiah will come, and it may very well be two different people. This is in Judaism. One will deliver them from the tyranny of global governments, and one will deliver them as the absolute rabbi. They fail to see, Paul said it, the veils over their eyes. They fail to see that the political deliverer will not first come to deliver Israel politically, but the political deliverer will first come to deliver Israel from its sins. That the Messiah who dies on the cross is the same Messiah that will come and deliver them. It's the same Messiah. It's the same one. Jesus, baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, is the same Messiah that went to the cross, is the same Messiah that the Bible says will return in the second coming, and it's going to be an awesome and tremendous day. The people didn't want that. They didn't want to talk about that. And I know many Jewish people today, and I'll be in Israel soon, and I'll talk to them again. They want a political Messiah, but they do not want anyone right now to talk to them about any Messiahship regarding their sins. And that's a very serious thing. Jesus is going to speak to them. They knew the prophecies of the book of Daniel, but they selected to read certain parts of the Bible. Always be careful when you read certain parts of the Bible. Read all of the Bible, my friend. Genesis to Revelation, all the way through. In fact, every cult, are you listening? Armand was talking about Islam. Islam is the most successful cult that has ever existed. They got their own book, they got their own beliefs, and the names like, for example, Moses and Jesus that are found in Islam are completely different people that are found in the Bible. Same names, different people. You need to know that. That's why you need to go to that class. Does Islam worship the same God that Christians worship? Absolutely not. They have completely different names. They have completely different attitudes. One's real, one is not. You need to know that. Very, very important. When you begin to read certain parts of the Bible, pick and choose, that's how cults are formed. Very dangerous. And so they thought the kingdom would appear immediately. Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, sees the necessity to teach them about the coming of the Messiah. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this. This is amazing. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is the God, the God, note it, definite article, who commanded light to shine in darkness, who has shown in the hearts to give to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That is, through Christ, God's knowledge, God's existence, God's very mission is revealed in Christ. But we have this treasure, that is the gospel, that knowledge, in earthen vessels, our bodies, these people, who we are. We've got the message of eternity. That's an awesome thing. And that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The kingdom of God is expanding, yes, spiritually first. They wanted it to come now. And Jesus is speaking about a whole special protocol of the kingdom to come. It's very important you understand that. God's business is expanding. So the question begs, how's your business? I'm going to ask you that throughout the whole morning. How's your business? Well, God's business is expanding. I encourage you to join up with God in His business. Secondly, verse 14. The gospel is expanding in this manner against a tough market. I'm trying to use like business talk right now because of the business ethic thing we're all discussing right now. The gospel advances most prolifically when the world around it is hostile. Have you noticed the hatred? Are you listening to the news? The aggression against Christianity. Because of the powers that are in place currently over our nation, everything's starting to come out of the woodwork, and people want Christianity to be silenced. There's a big move right now in Washington, D.C. to silence Christian radio. Isn't that interesting? How does that sit with you? Amazing, isn't it? They know that we won't do anything about it, so they'll push the agenda. The gospel, whenever it's attacked, it's awesome. Remember growing up, those silly little stupid clowns with the sand in the bottom and they're all funny and you'd punch them and they would go back and then pop right back up. That's exactly how the gospel is. You punch it, it comes back. You keep punching it, it comes back more. It's awesome. Whenever there's a world like our world is today that is anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, and trying to erase everything from our culture about Christ, try to find Jesus, by the way, in our public school system. Absolutely amazing. Whenever that world market, as it were, that marketplace of thought and idea comes against Christ, the awesome thing is for Christians is for us not to lose heart. Don't give up. Jesus said in verse 14, but his citizens hated him. Does not the world hate God? And sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. Isn't it interesting that in John 19, verse 15, the chief priest answered during the time of Christ's trial. He says, we have no king but who? Caesar. Remember when they said to the Jews, is this not Jesus your king? They said, no. We have no king but Caesar. They announced it. Don't you think God heard that? Oh, he heard that all right. People are saying that every day. Every human, by the way, every one of us has a king. Here's the funny thing about it. You say, I don't think so, Pastor Jack. You know what? You may be the king of your life. You are the guy. I am the king. Think of that. Every one of us has a king in our lives. No matter who you might be, you may think you're the king. Maybe your wife thinks she's the king. Maybe your husband thinks he's the king. Maybe the king's the company. Maybe the kids are the king. Heck, in my house, the dogs are the king. Whatever they want, they get, you know? Absolutely crazy. The truth is, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But everybody's got a king. Also, look at this. God's business is expanding. It's expanding with guaranteed results. This gospel generates, this Bible generates guaranteed results. Verse 15, and so it was when he returned in the parable. Christ obviously speaking about a future date when he comes, having received the kingdom. That was done, by the way, when he would go to the cross. He then commanded that these his servants, to whom he had been given the money that they might invest, to be called to him. Note it, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The Bible speaks of a day when every non-believer, Revelation chapter 20, every non-believer will stand and give an account. God will judge them. And listen carefully, every believer, non-believer and believer, will stand before Christ. Every believer stands before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian will be judged before Jesus Christ for what they did in their bodies in this lifetime for the glory of God. Has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with God rewarding us based upon the opportunities he gave us and what we did with them. That's the believer. The non-believer has no hope because the non-believer, Revelation chapter 20, says that that non-believer stands before God the Father in judgment without Christ as advocate. Wow. Amazing. By the way, you got to take a pen, highlighter, or pencil right now. This is amazing. You want to know where you live? Oh, you don't live at your address. Not really. You want to know where you live? You live between verses 14 and 15 of chapter 19. Where do you live? Luke 19, 14, 15. Between verses 14 and 15 is our lives being lived out right here, right now. Isn't that wild? He's coming back and he's going to take an account. Right now, you and I are to be investing in God's business. And we'll find out what that means. I'm going to give you a string of verses. I'm going to ask you to write them down. The first three are pretty easy. Why is getting out the gospel message, as Jesus will show us in a moment, why is getting the word of God out to the world so important? This morning you may be sitting here and you could care less about people hearing the gospel. That's your business. Just know this. Your business will be audited one day by God himself. Some of you are here are very passionate about getting the word out to the world. That's your business. God will audit that someday. Do we not do that in life? Have you had your taxes done yet? I had my taxes done on Thursday night. We had an appointment at 8 o'clock, and we left at 10:30. That's how exciting my tax appointment was. And what's the goal when you have your taxes done? Don't you want to be squeaky clean so you're never audited? Or if you are audited, that you come out of it squeaky clean? Isn't it funny that when somebody in the newspaper, in fact, this is a true story, Billy Graham, this is years ago, Billy Graham and his organization is being audited by the IRS. Guess what? And by the way, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, years ago, I was going to church there. My wife was on staff. Lisa was there on staff at the time. Newspaper, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa being audited by IRS. Guess what? They came in, they went through the books, and they found absolutely nothing wrong. Do you think a few weeks later that they published? No way. No way. Just like my dad. My dad, U.S. Marine Corps, gave his blood, sweat, and tears for this nation. My dad was a maniac for putting every decimal point and every thing perfectly. My dad was, he was audited and he brought in boxes of receipts. Everything. And the auditor said, Mr. Hibbs, if every American kept records like you did, we would be out of business. He was so proud, went home 2 weeks later. He got a bill from the U.S. government for their time for investigating his life. Even though everything came out perfect, he had to pay the bill for his innocence. How is that? There's going to be an audit someday. Christ is going to audit our lives. How will we stand? Why is getting out the gospel so important, church? Because listen, it's the way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. Correct? You can say amen if you think that's right on. Number two, it's easy. It's the same verse. It's the truth. We want to get the gospel out to the world because it's the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Same verse. John 14:6. Same verse again, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Note this, verse number four. We want to get the message out to the world because it's the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul the Apostle said that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. There's no other hope. What are you hoping in? AIG? General Motors? What are you hoping in? Your 401? Have you seen the billboard along the freeway? It says 401KO. Knocked out. What are you saving for? Where's your money? The Bible says, watch out about money. You put your trust in money, it sprouts wings, it says in Proverbs, and flies away. America knows that right now more than anybody, and for that matter, the world. Why is getting out the message of the cross and of Christ so important? Because it changes people. I'm feeling feisty this morning, so hang on to your seats. You want to talk about change? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, not the taking away of it. But we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You want to talk about real change you can believe in? Jesus Christ brings real change. You say, Jack, you're getting awful political. I've just started. You want to talk about change? Listen, you need to vote Jesus Christ into your heart. You need to cast the ballot for Christ. Hope you can believe in. Absolute change, because He changes us. This nation has been, it came, it has been, and it's leaving. Nations come and go, the Bible says. America will not last forever. Don't fool yourself. Where's the Roman Empire? It's gone. Where's the Persian Empire? Gone. But there is a kingdom that will never fade away. In fact, it's a kingdom coming. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, God changes us by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 3:36 says, it's our future. He who believes in the Son, that is the Son of God, has everlasting life. That word, you always read your Bible carefully, because the word in the Greek says this, he who believes in the Son possesses in his own bosom, in his own hands, eternal life. Don't you love that? Oh, man. You're not going to get it someday. The Bible says it's not going to come to you someday. The believer has it now. You guys, we've got salvation through Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross and all the benefits we are en route to receiving. The truth is, biblical theology announces you've got it if you're trusting Christ. Amen. Who are you trusting today? What are you leaning upon today? How's your business? Your business needs to be Jesus. Number two, second point, verses 16 to 23. How's your business? Because God's business is profitable. And I don't mean send in your money. Just send in your money. Trust God and send us your money. Bunch of clowns. I wish there could be a little button on your TV when the televangelist says, just send us your money. You could press the button. Hello? Excuse me, sir. You send me your money and let's see you trust Jesus. Send me your ministry money to 1409 Oak Way Drive. Wouldn't it be great if you could press the button and interrupt this program? Oh, I would love that. Develop it. You got the brains. Make it happen. God's business is profitable, and I don't mean money. It's profitable because it cannot collapse. Oh, man. You guys, China's so mad at us. They could nuke us right now. Do you know why they're so mad? 50% of the cash. Did you know that China possesses more U.S. dollars than any nation on the planet? And when America crashed, guess what China was left with? 50% of nothing. They're freaking out right now. God's kingdom will not collapse. So how's your business? Pastor, my business is going down the hole. I understand that. But how's your business with God? Oh, thank you for asking. It can't collapse. It's expanding. It's growing. It's the greatest place where we can invest. It's a kingdom coming forever. Here's the issue. Do we really believe it? I don't know. But we know this, the Bible says of itself, the kingdom, God's word will never collapse. Verse 16, then came the first man, he came to Jesus, he had been invested, the Lord gave him a mina, a dollar. Let's just call it a dollar, an opportunity to invest. Mina is simply means this in Greek. It means 3 months' wages, okay? 3 months. So 3 months' worth of work, income. The guy comes up and he says, look, Lord, I've been given this mina from you and it has earned 10 minas. I put it out to invest it and it's earned 10. That ain't a bad return, huh, Todd? That's not bad. Pretty good stuff. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Remember the issue was with this king-to-be from Herod, that he would inherit the realm. Jesus is saying, trying to communicate to the people, it comes across clearly, you were faithful with a little bit? Oh, that's so cool because, man, I'm going to make you, allow you to be faithful over great, great areas. And the guy, no doubt, jumped up and down. He was so excited. I'm sure. It doesn't say he was, but he had to be. Verse 18, and the second man came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5. That is still awesome. The beautiful thing is, Jesus didn't say, well, how? 5? The dude next to you had made 10. Oh, church, be encouraged. Have you seen somebody being greatly used by God? Don't judge yourself with them. Did you know the book of Colossians tells us that those who judge themselves among themselves are not wise people? Are you thinking that you've got to achieve the exploits of a Chuck Smith or a Charles Stanley or a Charles Spurgeon or a Billy Graham for God to get interested in you? Oh, by no means. Did you know that, listen, are you guys listening? Every bit of opportunity and ability that God has given you, he is going to require a dividend from who and what you are. And what he's required is tailor-made to your life. Don't look at somebody and say, well, I just might as well not even try because I can't be like them. I mean, I feel so futile as a pastor when at the church I grew up with and at with the pastor I had. I've only had one pastor in my life. I've been so blessed. But when I think of Chuck Smith and what God has done in his life, who is alive today to see things that previous church leaders never had a chance to see in their lifetime, to have thousands and thousands of churches around the world start from one church in Costa Mesa. Absolutely amazing. And when you, now look, you compare your life, I compare my life to that ministry, and I feel like burying my head in the sand. But God says, don't do that. Jack, you just be faithful to what I've called you to do, and on the other end, when the audit is done, you'll do fine if you stay faithful. And you say, well, Pastor Jack, what has God called me to do? That's for you to find out and to do it with all your heart and via or through his power. Absolutely awesome. The kingdom will not collapse. And so Jesus here, verses 16 to 19, gives us an audit, a breakdown. You know what? You think about this, and I just mentioned to you a moment ago, we had our taxes done. And did you know something? Did you know that your tax man knows everything about your life, I now realized? Did you know that? He said, what do you mean? He knows everything. You say, what do you mean he doesn't know everything? You know what? He knows exactly where our priorities lie. How do you know? Because he looks into your books. He looks into your checking account. He knows exactly. He knows exactly. How much money goes to here? How much money goes to there? What about your charitable giving? What about this? Your income? Any other income? What about interest earned? What about everything? What about everything you lost in the market? What about all the... He knows everything! He could have sat there and went, boy, were you stupid to invest in AIG. I mean, I didn't. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? He knows everything. And where are those priorities? The kingdom cannot collapse. Matthew 16, verse 13 begins this way. Matthew 16, 13. I love this verse. Listen carefully. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And so they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? Isn't that just like Jesus? He doesn't care about popular opinion. Isn't it cool? God cares less about the polls. You know, the recent polls show that Christians, you know, God doesn't care about polls. Jesus says, what do you say? And you know the story. Peter said, Simon Peter speaks up and says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus went on to say, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to remember that at a time like this. And I'll tell you the reason why. Did you know that cults in America are exploding? There are more and more cults being constructed. And they're doing great. But did you know that, quote, mainline Christian churches are dying? Did you know that foreclosure rates on mainline Christian churches are up 50%? Churches are closing their doors. They're going bankrupt. And then you do, listen, I encourage you, go do a little bit of study. Find out what's happening to those churches. Amazing thing. I was interviewed yesterday on a news program. They were asking me about this. They said, what's with you guys? The Calvary Chapel movement, I was honored to be responding for it. I didn't ask for that question. But the reporter said, we've noticed the Calvary Chapel movement is expanding. They're growing. They're adding seats. They're adding services while the mainline denominations are dying and folding up, closing doors, going bankrupt and foreclosures. What's the deal? And I said, listen, I'll tell you what the deal is. Here's the deal. When you substitute preaching and teaching the Word of God for sermonettes, for Christianettes about 12 steps to financial freedom and 12 steps to make yourself feel better rather than the cross of Christ, which is the power of the gospel, then you will see churches die and maybe they should die and get out of the way. And I don't know if that reporter was ready for that response. You know the old saying, what movie was that? Build it and they will come. You know that baseball movie? There's a lot of concept. Build a church and people will come. No, 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 no. Listen, don't do that. Preach the gospel and they'll come. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they'll follow me. A pastor just needs to proclaim the word of God. Every ministry that comes out of a church, proclaim the word of God. It's got to be based on the word of God. Why? It's the only sure thing that will never collapse. Even if this church is reduced to the side of a hill. It doesn't matter. Do you understand if an 8.5 earthquake knocks this building down, we'll just meet somewhere else. Hey, Jesus had people sitting on the side of a hill. It's biblical. He didn't have a building like this. Also this, it cannot be concealed. The gospel can't be hidden. Verse 20, then another one came. Here's this poor guy that sadly is a picture of the greatest populace. Master, here's your mina. Here's your dollar, which I have kept, what? Put away. Oh my. And a handkerchief. By the way, handkerchief, that word, this is kind of poetic. Handkerchief, it's a word used for grave cloth. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead, it said that his burial cloth was on one side and the handkerchief was on the other side, the head wrapping. That's what you wrap dead stuff with. Interesting verbiage, huh? Lord, here is your dynamic gospel that's alive. I had a funeral for it. I wrapped it up and I hid it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? The little kids sing that. Don't let Satan blow it out. Right? And you're not supposed to hide it. The kids 100 feet away from here in the other building, they know that. You know what happens? When we grow up, we bury it. At great, great detriment to us. Don't answer me. Have you ever witnessed to someone Jesus Christ, the gospel, and have you ever led them to Christ? Have you ever had the opportunity? Let me take that back. I know every one of us have had the opportunity. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? Did I quickly, because of embarrassment and fear? I don't know what to say. I'm a Christian, but I don't even know how to invite anybody into the kingdom of God. Or I'm feeling funny. I don't want to say anything. And we wrap it up in a handkerchief and we bury it. And hope that the opportunity leaves. I don't want to lay some trip on us, but God had created that opportunity. The gospel cannot be concealed unless we conceal it. The greatest news the world has ever heard, that Christ died on the cross in my place. I was supposed to go there. He paid for my sins. He rose again because I was heading for hell and death. And he delivered that power from Satan into the Lord's hands and crushed the power of the grave. And the benefit is I get to go free. No, he says, I put it away in a handkerchief. I hid it. I played it safe. Imagine, can you imagine going to work tomorrow, telling your manager, hey boss, I tell you what, I'll be here on time every day, you don't have to worry about me, I'll clean up after myself, my books will be perfect, but I just can't tell anyone about the products we sell. See, well, Jack, that's stupid, that's ridiculous. Exactly. I'll be really good, God. I'll be on time to church. I might even sign up and sing in the choir. But I am not going to tell anybody outside the walls of this church about you. I just can't. That's fanatical. That's exactly who Jesus is talking about. In Mark 8:38, Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, when he comes, will be ashamed. Matthew 12:30 says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Christianity is not, as we mentioned before, a spectatorship. It's not a show. It's not for bystanders or dreamers or pretenders. It's not for almost Christians. And Jesus is making a grave warning. He said in Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of bass. Fishers of shark, fishers of men. don't raise your hand, but how many of you are Christians? If you're a Christian, you are ordained by God to be a fisher of men. See, Jack, you're freaking me out here. Hang on a minute. Also, this, God's business is profitable because it cannot be contained. Verses 22 to 23. The man says, I know that you are an austere man. You're hard. This is how he viewed God. Jesus is saying, there are those who view me as very mean and very hard, and they're afraid of me. The Lord doesn't want you. Listen, you say, Pastor Jack, I thought the Bible says to be in fear of the Lord. And the word means in awe of him, in reverential awe of God. That you surrender everything to him. It doesn't mean to be sitting in the corner in a fetal position, sucking your thumb and trembling. That's what this man's doing. Ah, I'm terrified to meet God. I don't know. Oh, I'm going to bear what he gave me. I'm going to hide away. People live like that. They never knew him. They might have been religious. But they never got excited about the gospel to say, Lord, awesome. And here's the deal. You see, Pastor Jack, I'm not a verbal person. I'm getting to that. Every one of us in the body of Christ has our role to play. But are you playing it? Point number three, and we'll make this our closing point. Verses 24 to 28. How's your business? Because God's business is forever. Wow, God's business is forever. I heard a story the other day. Actually, I heard it yesterday. I was in a setting where you could not but overhear this woman. She was talking so loud to her friend. And she said, do you know Mike? Oh, yeah, I know Mike. How's he doing? He lost his job. And she said, oh, my. She said, yeah, he lost his job. He was making $750,000 a year. Lost his job. She said, what's he doing? She said, you really want to know? Do you know Mike? He's delivering pizzas. Are you serious? I don't even know who I'm talking about, but I overheard the conversation. I hope his name's not Mike. I'm making it up right now to protect the... What? Listen, everything that you and I have, have we not all as Christians always been reminded in the Bible that we don't even own it? Oh, yeah, yeah, the bank's got my house, the bank's got my car. Oh, I don't mean that. You think the banks own stuff? I think they've proven to us. Oh, my goodness. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. It sure looks messed up to me. Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Because people took what the Lord has given them and they crushed it. And now he's launching an audit. And the day is coming. It's all his. And he's going to be reminding, and he is reminding the world of that right now. It's forever. We're playing for keeps, you guys. Verses 24 to 25, what's forever is being lived out right now in our lives. Right now, every one of us. Here's the amazing thing. I feel so cool. I feel so emboldened when I say this because it's so true. You can say, Pastor, I can't stand you. Go to the internet. It's full of all that stuff. There's a lot of people who can't stand me. I don't like your jacket. I don't like it either. It was the first thing I grabbed out of the closet. I don't care. If it wasn't for my wife dressing me, I'd probably be here in a t-shirt. I don't like the way you talk. Okay, I want out of here. A few more minutes. Here's the cool thing. How you invest your life, you don't answer to me. Isn't that great? I don't have to hear it, and you don't have to tell me. Don't ask, don't tell. But there'll be a day when God will ask, and you will tell. You don't have to tell the Pope. You don't have to tell Billy Graham. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody nothing. And you don't have to do anything. But you will answer to him. And that gives me a lot of peace as a pastor. What do you want us to do? Tell you everything? Don't I know too much. Don't tell me anymore. But we are living our lives out for Christ right now, or we're not. He says in verse 24, to those who stood by, take what he's got away from him and give it to the man who invested and made profit. The guy who didn't do anything with it, in the end, before the Lord, what he did have was taken away. Issue? Life. Life will be taken away from him. It's called hell, by the way. A living, continuous, never-ending state of death. Except you never die. You're always getting there. But you never die. That's called hell. And it's a spiritual sense. Our physical bodies die. Happens every day. But the spirit lives on forever. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, "My little children," Paul said, "for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you." Is that not beautiful? I'm laying it down this morning because you know that's my heart's desire right there, Galatians 4:19, that Christ may be formed in you. That's my job. That's my calling, that you would hear this message and say, you know what, that's it. I'm changing my portfolio. I've lost so much. Imagine with what you've lost in your 401k, your retirement programs, or the value, just the value of your home alone. I mean, you're not home alone, but in your house, the value of it, what it's become. What if we were to take that collective money of each just individual, my house, just my home represented at my address, and had that money and invested it in the kingdom of God. Missionaries, getting the word out. Can you imagine? It's gone. No. God's business is forever, and what's forever now will matter then. There's a day coming. Verse 26, "For I say to you that everyone who has it will be given, and from him who does not have, whatever he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me." Jesus speaks in that parable warning that there's an end coming. I did a funeral yesterday at Rose Hills, and it was packed with people, and it was... I have to tell you, I know most people hate funerals. I love funerals. I love funerals for this one reason. Nobody moves in a funeral. Nobody's distracted in a funeral. People sit there out of respect for the survivors and for the dead. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Nobody moves. And by the way, everyone in the room is thinking about eternity. The most hardened atheist is sitting in that funeral, trust me, and he's thinking about, when am I going to die? There's an end coming. And how will you've invested your life? A funeral speaks about and displays that time was up. And I don't know how long you and I will live. This might be our last day. Who knows? You have no guarantee. You say, "Pastor Jack, my day timer's full. I got all kinds of appointments going on." You may not be breathing this afternoon. And God's going to say, "Fred, let's open the books. Let's check the, let's do a little audit here. And let's see, I gave you breath, I gave you legs, I gave you ears, I gave you whatever. And let's see how you used it to the glory of God." We end in verse 27 because what God's business is forever, and what's forever is, this is profound, what's forever is forever. And I drive it home this way. You guys, you can't miss. You can't miss by advancing God's kingdom. Why were these in the parable carted away and slain? Because they committed a treasonous act against the king in the parable. In the day of judgment, when that comes, the Bible says, in fact, write it down. I'll give you just a couple more verses. Matthew 7:20, listen to this. Jesus said in the end, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Look at their lives. Jesus says, look at every human being you know and match their lives up against my word, and you'll know what kind of people they are. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." That's it. Do the will of God in heaven. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied?" Hey, weren't we pastors, priests, evangelists? Weren't we religious people? Didn't we do it in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And have done many wonders or miracles in your name? Do you know any miracle workers? You think that matters to God? He says in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him as a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Matthew 24, 14, last verse of the day. Jesus said, and this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all of the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. You can close your Bibles. We'll end with this. Church, check it out. This is weird, and I need you to pay attention. Don't anybody move right now, because I don't want to be misquoted or whatever. You know how you and I are living right now? Feel yourself. Feel your hands. Is it you? Yeah, it's me. It's me. This will translate someday into the eternal spiritual realm. How you live now matters. It matters now, and it will matter later. Are you with me? There are things that God has placed in our custody that work for or against that final day. How we treat people, who we really are, but most importantly, what we did with Jesus. Did you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you say yes, then Jesus said, then your life better show a change. You'll know them by their fruit. Okay? Here's the deal. You say, Pastor Jack, you got me all stirred up. What do? I'm a quiet person, or I'm a busy person. I'm barely in the state or in the country. I travel. I'm a salesman, or I'm a mom at home. I've got all these kids, or I've got all these. What part can I play? And I thought about that. And I wrote a few things down. If you know this ministry at all, and if you, we should let you know this, by the way, more often. The Real Radio program, it needs sponsorship. You're paying for it. But very few listeners send a penny in. This is the way it is. But on your behalf, as you sit here, on your behalf, we are taking your mina and we are sending it to broadcast the gospel around the world. Wednesday nights, 168 countries around the world. Think about that. I believe strongly as a pastor that you're busy about your Father's business as I am busy about my Father's business. And that it is the duty of this church and its leadership to make sure that whatever penny you invest goes to the glorification of the advancement of the kingdom. So, Real Radio, God is blessing our efforts, and we're on more stations now that we don't pay for than stations we do pay for. There are stations that put us on the radio and we don't even pay for that. That's crazy. Number two, TV stuff. Opening doors in Hawaii. There are doors open in Hawaii to be on local Hawaiian TV across the islands. And then internet TVs taking the world by storm. Journey is our internet television program that's viewed every day. Podcasting. You think Apple invented the iPod for music? God had Apple invent the iPod to send messages around the world in people's ears with an iPod. Podcasting, people downloading messages. Did you know CDs that you get here to take to other people? Did you know CDs are mailed out all over the place and beyond these borders? And DVDs. We heard of two stories this month alone, of two different locations who are using the DVD teachings that are going on in this sanctuary for their church. People are gathering, they worship, sing guitars, and then they turn on the DVD and they have a service that you and I went through a month ago. They're doing it in their time. Amazing. How's your business? Your business is great if you're investing in the things of God. We need to build a school so we can get kids taught right. All these kinds of things. Look, you say, well, I don't want you talking about money. Here's all I'm saying. You're going to put your money somewhere. And all of us have learned a big lesson lately. I'd rather lay up treasures in heaven. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that for each and every one of us, we would be wise stewards over what you've given us. In this church, there's a diversity of people so broad that it is truly ordained of you. Those who have so much blessed by you, those, Lord, who equally love you and have so little, the body ministering to the body, a family, a church, but not only that, beyond its walls, to the world. Lord God, please, we pray, find us faithful. Find us busy about our Father's business. Find us, Lord, never seeing money as money, but always seeing money as tools, shovels, handles, plows, concrete, steel, Bibles, all of it worship to you. And my friend, in closing right now, right where you're at, if today you're asking yourself this question, do I even know God today? Right where you're at, you ask him, Lord, I need to know you and I want to know you. I want to receive you as Lord and Savior. You tell him that right now and let us know. Tell us, I received Christ today. And be now, from this moment on, busy about your Father's business. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, church, listen, as we close in this song, let's stand. I'm not going to go in the courtyard.